Good evening. Greetings to all those that are listening. We're continuing our lessons, our devotions on the book of Exodus. We've got along as far as chapter 19. So we may read a few verses from chapter 19 today, verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at neither part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord, and gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away get thee down, and thou shalt come up, and Aaron with thee. And let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. And Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. May the Lord bless to us the portion that we have looked at and read together. Now we have come up until the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. On this portion that we have before us, we have some wonderful lessons to learn. Before looking at the law, I would like just to say a few things in connection with Moses and his character. The prophetic and priestly character of Moses as a type of Christ comes out very clearly here. As a prophet, he tells the people words which the Lord commanded. Read chapter 19, verse 7. As a priest, he tells words of the people unto the Lord. He brings the need of the people to the Lord as a priest. Verse 9. As a prophet, Christ reveals to us the will of God. As a priest, he makes intercession for us before God. The giving of the law was accomplished with all the solemn symbols of its terrible yet holy character, the holy character of God, according to the 16th verse. The giving of the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost was also accomplished with signs that ought to characterize the dispensation that we are living in today, the dispensation of grace. Both dispensations have a special ministry. The law, according to Romans chapter 7:7, was given to us to reveal to us our sin. The Spirit came to reveal the Savior and to give dominion over sin. Look at the order that we have. First of all, we have a very, very solemn promise here. People are always ready to make promises. The people answered, All that the Lord has promised we will do. What an outburst of self-conceit and ignorance until the greatness and the holiness of God is seen and the exceeding sinfulness of sin is felt. Man is ever ready to make his empty promises to God. I like the story of the young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verse 17 and 22. When the Lord brought before him the law, and he says, all these things have I kept from my youth up. And yet the Lord said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Now this young man, he was a very, very clever young man. And he was a humble young man. He came to the Lord kneeling before him. And he came to the right person, and he claimed to be keeping the law. And yet the Lord said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. According to the reading of the Word of God, and according to the book of Galatians, as well as Romans and other epistles, there was no law given that could ever save a person from going down in their sins to hell. If there hadn't been a law given that could have brought about life, then verily righteousness would have come in by the law, but there was no law given that could bring in life to dying men and women. As I have said on this broadcast before, when you come into the 10th chapter of Luke, we find that the Levite which held the moral law in his hand went by and saw the man that was fallen on the Jericho road, stripped of everything he had and left dying by the side of the road. And the lawyer who held the law in his hand, he looked at him and passed by on the other side, could do nothing for him. And then you remember the priest came along, and the priest looked at him and passed by on the other side. That was a ceremony law. There's only one thing that law can do, and that is to reveal our sin to us. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to God. And you know what a schoolmaster is, and you know what law is. When you pass through a red light or you do some damage to someone, the law says you shouldn't have done it, and you're found guilty. There's something in you when you break the law that you know you've done wrong. When you're going over 70 miles an hour, you know that you're breaking the speed limit here in Oklahoma. And there are several things that you know, and when you stand up long sides of God's law, I'm sure if you're honest with your own heart, you will say, to keep the law is more than I could do. There never was a law given, dear friends, that could bring life, and there never was a man but the Lord Jesus that ever kept the law. For the Word of God says, if you keep all the law and offend in one point, you're guilty of all. You may have a light hanging up by 10 links. You don't need to break the 10 links for the light to fall. Break one and the lamp will come down. You don't have to throw more than one stone through a bank window, or you don't have to rob more than one bank to be a bank robber. All you need to do is to break one point and you're guilty. The Bible says you're guilty. If you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. And you don't need to stand up and tell me that you love your neighbor as yourself, because you do not love your neighbor as yourself. And you do not love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. If you're honest, you'll find out that you'll have to stand up before God's law and say, well, I'm guilty. And that's all law can do. Law will reveal your sin to you and prove to you that you're guilty and need a Savior. It shows you that what you are by nature and by practice a sinner, and how you ought to come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus, who alone can forgive sins. These people here, when the Lord reveals himself to them, why, they can make big promises. And I'm sure that I'm speaking to some even today, and you too can make good promises. But promises can do not much, only fail. You'll notice what the divine purpose was. Lo, I come. And we're told why he was coming down on Mount Sinai, coming down with the law. He was coming to approve them, to see whether or not they're going to stand by their promises, because he said, all that thou hast said we will do. And the people had agreed to do his will. Now he comes to prove and to see that they carry out their promise. Those who would be saved by their works have a severe and a fiery trial to undergo. Because God says, dear friends, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Works comes in after you're saved. When God saves you and you're made a new creation in Christ Jesus, then you are to be careful to maintain good works and to prove by your works, as the epistle of James says, that you have been to Calvary, that you're saved and you know Christ as your Savior. And then you find out that there was a need for preparation. He says, be ye ready, for the Lord will come. Whosoever touches the mountain shall be surely put to death. The Lord was coming to prove them, we just read. A note of warning is given in connection with preparation, which was much needed. Prepare to meet thy God. That's Amos chapter 4, verse 12. And let me say to you that are listening today, it's time that you would prepare to meet God. Time is slipping away from you, and preparation must be made on this side of death and this side of eternity. Prepare to meet thy God. God's holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's his character. If one of you touch the mountain, he shall surely die. He that offendeth in one point, we're told, is guilty of all. James chapter 2, verse 10. Only touch a forbidden thing, and the sentence of death is passed upon you. You know, that's what Eve did. She took of the fruit that God told her not to take, and she was turned out of the Garden of Eden. She had sinned, she had disobeyed. And you and I have sinned, and we have disobeyed God. And because our foreparents sinned, sin has come in to this world. Sin has come in, as I've said many times, from Adam. And the law was given by Moses, as we see here, but grace and truth came in by Jesus Christ. And we're glad for that. Here is the presence of the Lord. The Lord came down, we read in verses 16 and 20. He's coming by the law. And he came down, and it was anything but pleasant here. You'll notice for a sevenfold plan, first the terribleness of it, thunder, lightning, clouds, fire, smoke, quaking. My, when you hear all these things around you on every hand, thunder that speaks of storm, lightning, that's the voice of God, dear friends, in the clouds, fire, smoke, and then the quaking of the mountain and the trumpet. There is nothing here to encourage or to attract anyone. Such is the character of the man who can be your Savior but be your judge tomorrow. I say, such is the character of God as a judge. But when you take him as a Savior, he reveals himself in love. And that's what we have in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. His character, dear friends, as a Savior is in love, but when you come to him as a judge, it's altogether different. When the books will be opened and you'll stand speechless before him, and your name is not found written in that book, then you'll be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth forever. I ask you, as I'll have to bring this message to a close, that you will make a wise choice right now, that you will take your place as a sinner, guilty before God, vile, helpless. That's what law will reveal to you. And by simple faith, receive the Lord Jesus, the only remedy, the ransom for sin. Christ, dear friends, paid your debt. The wages of sin was death, and the Lord Jesus Christ has died and paid sin's penalty. Why not accept him right now? Believe that he died for you, and you'll be saved right where you sit or where you are. May the Lord enable you to do it. Time is short and slipping away from you. Do it right now. Father, we thank thee in the name of the Lord Jesus for the opportunity and privilege of reading the Word of God and meditating on it. Bless thy word and receive our thanks in his name.